listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams, pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today. The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams, pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
Touchdowns, sacks, upsets, and last-minute heroics. Another NFL Sunday is in the books, and we've got you covered with the biggest plays and sound bites from another wild week in the National Football League. It's time for No Huddle Offense on the Zach Gelb Show.
Hickey, say it with me. The
Bears.
They're 2-1. I can't believe it. Khalil Herbert, 20 carries for 157 yards and 2 touchdowns. And Cairo Santos hit the game-winning 30-yard field goal. Bears 23, Texans 20. Let's listen up to the Bears Radio Network.
Trenton Gill, the rookie holder, awaits the snap. Sends it over.
Good jump.
Snap down. Kick up by Cairo Santos. It is good for the win. Time expires, 23-20 Bears.
Last week, the Las Vegas Raiders were up 20-0. They blew that game up against the Arizona Cardinals. This week, the Raiders trying to avoid 0-3, and they dug themselves in to a 24-10 hole up against the Tennessee Titans. It looked like the Raiders were going to have a magical comeback of their own. Mac Collins, a 9-yard touchdown catch from Derek Carr, but then there was a 2-point conversion attempt. Here's Mike Keith on the Tennessee Titans Radio Network.
They get it off. Carr throws short, batted away. It was hit by Cole, and then Byard knocked it down. It's 24-22 with a minute 14 to go.
Tennessee gets their first win on the season. They go to 1-2. The Raiders, woof, they fall to 0-3. Mac Collins in the game was the lone bright spot. 8 receptions for 158 yards and a touchdown. If you would have told me before the game that Derrick Henry would only have 85 rushing yards and Mac Collins would get 8 receptions for 158 yards and a score, I would say, how much did the Raiders win by? The Raiders did not win. They lost by 2. They're now 0-3. And Mike McDaniels. A little meeting. Josh McDaniels had a little meeting after the game with one Mark Davis. So that's never a good sign. 3 weeks into a new job, 3 games into a new job. All right, let's go to Lucas Oil Stadium. Colts get their first victory on the year. They're now 1-1-1, which is an ugly record, but Hickey will take it as the Colts win 20-17. We got a few highlights here. Matt Ryan, a 12-yard TD pass to Jelani Woods to make the lead 20-17 with just 24 seconds to go. Then Mahomes was driving. And you also had a Rodney McLeod interception with 2 seconds left. We listen up to Matt Taylor of the Colts Radio Network.
Ryan backs the pass, looking, fires upfield into the end zone. It is caught. Jelani Woods, touchdown, INDY. 2 touchdowns today for the rookie. And the Colts with 6 more on the board. They lead it 19-17 with 24 seconds to play.
Mahomes can't even hear himself think downstairs. Play clock is at 10. Waiting on a snap. Takes it. Looking left. He's going to fire up. Field. Broken up. Tip it. And intercepted by the Colts. Intercepted by the Colts. It's Rodney McLeod. Colts have it. Interception. 2 seconds left. And the Colts are going to win.
Hickey, 2 things from this game. Number one, if I told you before the game that the Colts would only score 20 points, Do you think it would have been enough for a victory?
No way in hell.
If I would have told you that Jelani Woods would have his first two career catches and both were touchdowns, would you have believed that?
Also, no.
Well, that's what happened. It's real, and for you, it is spectacular. And the Chiefs, since 2018, are 32-2 when holding opponents to 20 points or less. Both losses, and those two losses were the 32-2, were to Indianapolis, 2019, and then yesterday on Sunday. We go down to Florida. The Miami Dolphins may have the greatest football team, according to the song. They are 3-0. They take down the Buffalo Bills, who are now 2-1, 21-19. Let's listen up to Chase Edmonds gets a 3-yard run. This made it 21-17 with 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Let's listen up to Dolphins radio.
He'll flank to the right. They give it to Edmonds up the middle. Touchdown.
Got it. Only fitting that Chase Edmonds, the guy that got hit, gets the penalty, gets the touchdown.
Now, this game got a little bit closer than 21-17. It got to 21-19 when you had, how do I say this, the punt that went off the butt for a safety?
I guess it has to be the butt safety, right? We've been saying the butt punt. Maybe the bunts, the butt safety?
Yeah, but it was the punt to the butt, and then the butt caused the safety.
Yes.
So the butt that caused the safety. You know when you're a kid and you fart and you go doorknob or safety, and you have all that thing? Maybe we could call that one the butt safety? Little playoff like a fart or something like that? That's what I'm going. That's the best I got. But when that occurred and it was 21-19 and the Bills were getting the ball back, you're thinking bare minimum Buffalo's going out there and they're getting a field goal and they're going to win the game. But this game made no sense. Buffalo outgained Miami 497 yards to 212. The Bills ran 90 plays to the Dolphins, only 39. And then Buffalo held the football for 40 minutes and 40 seconds. Explain this game to me, Hickey. Other than the Dolphins are just hot right now, when you're hot, you're hot.
And boy, speaking of which, it was hot yesterday.
Yeah.
Every single player in the Bills looked like they needed an IV and were cramping up.
How many times that you heard a player left the game because of the heat yesterday? If that was the case, if I had that on my bingo card, I would have won bingo in the first 5 seconds of the game.
And I think they carried Stephon Diggs off the field. He was dead at the end.
Yeah, it was rough. It was not good. So the Miami Dolphins, they go to 3-0. How about that for Mike McDaniel? Vikings, they come on back. They find a way to get the job done in the fourth quarter. Vikings win 28-24. As it looked like the Vikings were doing everything to lose that game, Alexander Mattison had a touchdown, and then what ended up being the game winner was Kirk Cousins going to a guy that has some Zach Gelb show karma. We've had him on twice, KJ Osborne. That was a 28-yard connection with 45 seconds left. Let's listen up to an elated Paul Allen on the Vikings radio network.
Cousins out of the shotgun with no timeouts, trailing 24-21. Takes the snap, straight drop. He's going to fire right. Yes! KJ Osborne! You're so cold-blooded! Touchdown! And the Vikings have taken a 27-24 lead.
Kirk Cousins finishes the game 24-41 for 260 yards and two passing touchdowns. We go to Foxborough, where this game concerned me going in, and after the game, I was not feeling all too well. Lamar Jackson, count it, not one, not two, not three, not four, but five total touchdowns, four through the air, one on the ground. Let's listen up to a 9-yard TD run. This put the game away and made it 37-26 with 3 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Here's Jerry Sandusky on the Ravens radio network.
Jackson out of the gun on 3rd and 1. Fakes the handoff. Lamar will keep it. He's got room. He's to the 5. He walks in. Touchdown. Lamar Jackson with a knockout shot.
Knockout shot indeed. Lamar 18-29, 218 yards through the air. 4 touchdowns through the air and 11 carries for 107 yards. A casual 107 yards on the ground. And that rushing score. Adam Schefter a few moments ago. Patriots quarterback Mac Jones has what doctors diagnosed as a severe high ankle sprain that would cause many to have surgery per sources. He's likely to miss multiple games. Jones and the Patriots still are discussing his options and the best way to proceed. Ravens bounce back after that disaster fourth quarter last week where they blew a 35-14 lead up against the Dolphins. The Patriots, who finally got a win last week, were 1-1. Now they're 1-2, and they head to Green Bay without Mac Jones most likely for next week. Let's go to the swamps of Jersey. Monday Night Football tonight. Cowboys and the Giants. But yesterday, the New York Jets had a game, and they were going up against Cincinnati Bengals. We know the Jets were down 13 points a week ago to the Cleveland Browns in the final 90 seconds, and they found a way to win a game. This time around, the Bengals rolled in 0-2. I know the Bengals lost to the Jets last year in New Jersey, but it wasn't happening this time around. Bengals win 27-12. Tyler Boyd, have yourself a day of 56-yard touchdown reception. This made it 14-6. We listen up to Dan Hoard and Dave Lapham, who finally had something to cheer about this season on the Bengals Radio Network.
Burrow back to throw. Blitz coming. Throws over the middle. Caught by Tyler Boyd. Breaks away from two defenders. Sprinting down the middle of the field to the 20.
Get in, baby.
15, 10, 5.
Yeah.
Lunges for the end zone. Touchdown.
Nice.
Bengals on the final play of the quarter as Tyler Boyd pinballed off two defenders and took it to the house for the score.
Dave Lapham sounds like everyone's grandfather watching football with the noises that he makes in the background, and I absolutely love it. Joe Burrow in the game, 23 of 36, 275 yards, and three touchdowns. Bengals get their first win of the year. They are 1-2. Eagles, fly, Eagles, fly. They're 3-0. They sacked Carson Wentz, the quarterback of the now Commanders, 9 times. Eagles win 24-8. Devontae Smith had himself a day, 8 catches for 169 yards and a score. Let me say that correctly. Devontae Smith out of Alabama, 8 catches for 196 yards and a touchdown. Let's listen up to Merrill Reese and Mike Quick as Devontae Smith. Don't get that crappy impersonation of Eli Gold confused for Merrill Reese, the voice that you're about to hear. Merrill Reese and Mike Quick on Eagles Radio on what was a sick grab by Devontae Smith. This made it 24-0.
3 seconds, 2 seconds. Hurts back, Hurts looking, Hurts firing. Devontae Smith, touchdown! He caught it in the corner of the end zone. Again, he went skyward.
The Slim Reaper.
The Carolina Panthers, after losing to the Browns and the Giants, they have a victory. They beat the Saints, as that Saints offense looks horrible, led by Jameis Winston. I know he's playing with a bunch of fractures in his back, but yikes, not looking good. LaVisca Chenault had a 67-yard TD reception. This made it 19-7 in the fourth quarter. Let's listen up to the Panthers Radio Network.
Mayfield in the shotgun. Pumps. He's got LaVisca Chenault. His first catch is a Panther. He's got the 40. 45, 50. Chenault off to the races. Skies in front. Green grass ahead. Touchdown. LaVisca Chenault. Welcome to Carolina.
Panthers get the win. They are 1-2, and they do have the Arizona Cardinals next week. And the Saints fall to 1-2 after that loss. Christian McCaffrey in the game, 25 carries for 108 yards. And also, you had Run CMC have 2 catches for 7 yards as well. Panthers win as they beat the Saints. Jaguars demolish the Chargers out at SoFi Stadium, 38-10. Let's listen up to Marvin Jones. He had 11-yard TD reception. This made it 38-10 in the fourth quarter. Here's Frank Frangi on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Dropping is Trevor. Looking. Fires corner of the end zone. That ball is going to be caught for the touchdown in the back of the end zone. How in the world did Marvin Jones Jr. come down with that thing with Michael Davis draped all over him? Touchdown, Jaguars!
Trevor Lawrence, 28 of 39, 262 yards and 3 passing touchdowns. Jaguars improved to 2-1, and they have a winning streak. Who would have thought that? They crushed the Colts last week, then they crushed the Chargers. And now they have a date with the Eagles at Lincoln Financial Field to try to make it 3 in a row. And that was their first road victory, Jacksonville, since December of 2019. Chargers, after beating the Raiders earlier on in week 1, back-to-back losses to the Chiefs, and now the Jaguars. They're 1-2. And it looks like Rashawn Slater is also going to be out for the season. Rams, they beat the Cardinals 20-12. Cam Akers, 12 carries for 61 yards. And it was his first rushing touchdown in 617 days, going back to the 2020 NFC divisional round game versus the Green Bay Packers. Matthew Stafford's first game as a Ram without a touchdown. But that was okay because he had Cam Akers. Here's the 14-yard rushing touchdown score. This made it 20-9 in the third quarter. And listen up to J.B. Long on the Rams Radio Network.
Here comes the man in motion. It's Cooper Kupp as they take the snap. Feed Akers through the left side. Into space 10. Lowers his pads at the 5. Extends the football goal line. That should be 6. Touchdown, LA! Cam Akers from the 14 with his best run of 2020. And for the first time in 617 days, Cam Akers finds pay dirt.
How about this game? High-scoring affair between the Falcons and the Seahawks. This is one of the best games from Sunday, even though there wasn't a lot of interest heading in. But Drake London continues to be a stud. His first three games has 16 receptions, 214 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Got his second career touchdown yesterday, the 8th overall pick for the Falcons in this past draft out of USC. Drake London, a 14-yard score. This made it 27-23 with 35 seconds left in the third quarter. West Durham on the Falcons Radio Network.
How many does Seattle bring? A bunch. Quick throw. Caught. London at the 5. And Drake London scores the Atlanta touchdown. A big-time catch and even a bigger move after the catch.
Cordell Patterson continues to be a beast on the ground for the Falcons as they get their first win on the year. They're 1-2 as he has 17 carries for 141 yards and a touchdown in yesterday's defeat of the Seattle Seahawks. Packers, they just survive. 14-12. Brady got a touchdown. They were going for 2. This got pushed back 5 yards because of delay of game. Here is the failed 2-point conversion on Packers Radio Network.
Snap to Brady. Brady looking, waiting, scrambles right, throws end zone, tipped up into the air. It is incomplete.
Over.
It is incomplete. Devondre Campbell tipped it up into the air in the right side of the end zone. And there is your dagger. The Packers defense finally gets the stop.
No Christian Watson in this game. No Sammy Watkins in this game. No Mike Evans. No Chris Godwin. No Julio Jones. Romeo Dubs gets the Packers the dub, 8 receptions, 73 yards, and a touchdown. And finally, in one of the worst offensive football games I've ever seen, this game was offensive. It was horrible. It was like watching paint dry. Honestly, I would rather have Hickey order food for me at a restaurant than watch this game. And if you've ever been out with Hickey, he can't order off the menu. Melvin Gordon, we have to have a highlight in this game when Jimmy Garoppolo's pulling an Orlovsky. There wasn't much offense in this game. And I was a little bit surprised how often the Broncos use Melvin Gordon, especially when he put the ball on the turf. Seems like that guy fumbles all the time, but he had a 1-yard touchdown. This made it 11-10. What if they were lining up for a field goal at 7-5. It would have made it 8-7. What was this? The Colorado Rockies? And the San Francisco Giants? No, it was the Denver Broncos and the San Francisco 49ers. What an awful game. Let's listen to Ryan Racky and Westwood One call the Melvin Gordon 1-yard touchdown run.
Saubert, the tight end, goes in motion from left to right. Here's the snap. Handoff Gordon, left side, into the end zone. Touchdown, Broncos. Melvin Gordon races in from 1 yard out. And with 4:10 remaining, the Broncos lead 11-10, a 2-point try coming up.
Let's just forget about the offense because the offense was non-existent. The Broncos defense held the 49ers to just 267 total yards of offense. And the Denver defense forced 3 turnovers and a safety. San Francisco was 1 of 10 on third down. And we talked about the offensive line problems for the San Francisco 49ers through the first few weeks of the season. Their most reliable offensive lineman, their best offensive lineman, Trent Williams, is going to be sidelined for some time due to a high ankle sprain. That came down 3 hours ago from Adam Schefter. That's week 3 of No Huddle Offense in the National Football League. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about. like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to. So get started and download the free Odyssey app today. The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today. The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
You can think of Riley Auto Parts for your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Let's hit the phones for the first time today. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. A lot to react to from the weekend of football that we just witnessed. And so far, as week three is about to come to a close tonight, you have the Giants up against the Cowboys on the first drive of the game for the Dallas Cowboys. They had five plays, 25 yards in 3 minutes and 7 seconds. They ended up punting the football on a 4th and 14 right at midfield at the 50-yard line. Now Daniel Jones and the Giants are going to get the football. And already Daniel Jones, they're going to hurry up offense. And they have the football at their own 22-yard line after they just got about 8 yards, I think, on first down. And they're 2 yards away from the first down marker right now. So we'll keep you up to date on that as Saquon Barkley gets bottled up. And it actually looks like he's going to lose a yard in that play. So Cowboys trying to get the Giants to go three and out. 855-212-4CBS. Let's go to Ben in Hawaii. He's next up on the Zach Gelb Show. Ben, what do you got?
Hey, Zach. Good to talk to you. Up front, I don't know which camp you were in on this, so I'm just shotgunning this statement, so I don't know where you were.
Yeah.
But this absurd rhetoric that I had to endure all offseason about how Garoppolo was a winning quarterback and the Niners are better off with Garoppolo, who's been crap and has lost us two Super Bowls anyway, Garoppolo'd us out of the NFC Championship last year, and this absurd line of thinking that he was a better quarterback and that we should stick with Garoppolo. I want all those people to admit they were wrong, and I want them to apologize.
Here's the thing, and it goes from week to week. Now, full disclosure, Ben, I said all offseason long the only way I would take Trey Lance off the field this year because they made the investment would be because of injury. Now, that happened.
Correct.
Now, when Jimmy Garoppolo comes in and they win last week, I did think to myself, for this year only, Jimmy G is a better option in order to win the most amount of games possible than Trey Lance. But the problem is then you never find out long term what Trey Lance is, or you have to push that decision down the road. Now, it's unfortunate Trey Lance got hurt, but I would not disagree with the thinking, and I can understand the thinking for this year because there's going to be some growing pains with Trey Lance, why the 49ers would be in a better position to make the playoffs again with Trey Lance as the starting quarterback. But it doesn't help you long-term whatsoever, Ryan. Now, it's not as if they pulled Trey Lance because of poor play. They pulled Trey Lance because he got hurt. And now he's done for the season, which stinks. But, Ryan, this is just one of those situations where we're probably not going to find out what Trey Lance is as a starting quarterback in this league to year four. Because next year he's going to be coming off an injury. You're going to have to knock off some rust. Then it's going to be your first true year as a starting quarterback. We're really not going to get this answer until we see two full years of Trey Lance. And I don't know if he could say healthy. I don't know what he is as a quarterback because the guy hasn't basically started a full season in, 3 years? Because COVID got him out for a year at North Dakota State. Last year only started two games, and this year he barely even played because of the unfortunate injury.
It's a good point. It's going to be 3 years removed from the last time he was a full-time starter. That's scary.
Jimmy G was awful, though, last night. For a guy that has had a lot of success in this league, in terms of winning games. And I know this is what you get with Jimmy G. Some weeks he looks good, then other weeks he looks awful. And when it's bad for Jimmy G. But how he ran out of the end zone last night. I know there wasn't great protection on either side, but that shows you're scared or you're just not aware. And that's something a veteran quarterback can't do. It can't happen.
You're right.
This is not a scrub. I love Dan Orlovsky. I'm friends with Dan Orlovsky. Dan was not Joe Montana. All right? Dan wasn't even a Pro Bowl quarterback. Dan wasn't a quarterback that's been in a Super Bowl. All right? I love Dan. But Dan as an NFL quarterback was a scrub. Jimmy G has won games in this league. Now, I've never loved Jimmy G. I've never anointed Jimmy G as a great quarterback. I did not want any part of Jimmy G returning to my football team. But how the heck does Jimmy G run out of bounds last night? It's either a lack of awareness, which is crazy, or he was scared.
I'm not defending the action because it's undefendable. I will just say this.
Well, you like to defend crappy quarterbacks. So.
Let's not forget.
You defended Carson Wentz all last year.
I did.
Yeah.
He had zero offseason. He had zero training camp. He didn't even know he was going to be on the 49ers until like a week ago.
This is a guy that knows that organization better than anyone. He's been there for the last few years.
I get it.
He's been in an offseason. He's never healthy.
But I'm just saying, he had shoulder surgery, and then they kept him away from the team because they didn't think he was going to be on the roster.
So you think all of a sudden he forgets where the end zone is? The end zone doesn't change?
I'm not defending him running out of the end zone. I'm just defending his overall bad game yesterday. Let's just not forget, this is still for him, like, you know, the third time he's lined up under center with his first-string offense.
Was it a problem last week when he came into the game against Seattle?
It was not. He looked decent. Just saying. It's good defense.
This is the seesaw ride of Jimmy Garoppolo. There's going to be some weeks where you say, okay, he's fine, he's good, they win more games, and there's going to be miserable weeks. But they play the Rams this week. I know Kyle Shanahan does a good job up against Sean McVay. That's a Monday night game. Maybe this is a bounce back because everyone's going to be killing the 49ers. I don't know how the Rams lose that game this week. Unless if Matthew Stafford continues to play the way that he's been playing, because the first 2 weeks, your boy Matthew Stafford has not looked good.
Someone maybe was partying a little too hard after that Super Bowl.
Well, he's also never played that late into his career. Maybe that's why that elbow's hurting a little bit.
That might be.
Not used to those 3-4 extra games.
More miles on that arm than ever before.
Maybe Aaron Donald getting some Dr. Teals so he could bathe in that Epsom salt.
I would agree. Help him out.
Yeah, that Rams offense does not look good right now. But it's important that Cam Akers did get going. All right, we'll take one more before the break. 855-212-4CBS. Let's go to Jay in Alaska. Jay?
Hey, what's up? Hey.
Wait, hold on, Jay. I know that you are in a miserable, and I mean a miserable mood today. You usually have a lot of enthusiasm. Zach, how you doing? What's going on? The Raiders are going to the Super Bowl, something like that. At 0-3, this season is over, right? Can you declare the Raider season over today?
Oh, yeah. I've turned back into pessimistic Raider fan. We're going to lose every game. I hope we lose every game so we can get better draft picks next year. And I wanted to apologize that I didn't come in last week and take my lumps when we lost to Arizona, but I was dealing with finalizing my divorce on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. So I was in court. So I apologize I didn't make it in, but I would have otherwise. So hopefully you can forgive me for that. But
yeah, it's all right. I would hope that your football team could help you out, but that hasn't been the case.
Yeah. Dude, my whole football season is over because Notre Dame sucks, Texas Tech sucks, Florida sucks, the Raiders suck. They all suck.
Well, Jay,
I wanted to see if you could help me out.
Wait, Jay, real quickly. I'll help you out in a second. But you know what we should do here? Maybe we should have you, and you could be a Raiders fan again next year, but maybe you should dip your toe, since it's a new stage in your life, dip your toe in some different waters, and maybe you pick a new team for the rest of the year.
Dude, I picked a new team for the other football league. And they lost every game. They were terrible. The Houston Gamblers were my team, and they were horrible.
Well, I have the solution, so, Jay.
I give
Jay,
up.
This is what we should do.
But, hey,
wait, hold on, Jay.
I need Jay.
Hold on. This is what we should do. Since you don't do a good job in picking football teams, can you pick to be an Indianapolis Colts fan the rest of the year so Hickey could be miserable for the rest of the football season?
Oh, sure. One of my best buddies is a Colts fan. I could root for him.
You got it. All right. What's your question for me? Go ahead.
So I need to see if you can help me out and see if you can help me contact the FBI, because there's been a crime committed, Zach Gelb, and I want justice. The and I'm saying this, and you know that this is going to be vinegar coming out of my mouth. I hate Tom Brady with all of my vinegar in my life, but somebody needs to get justice for Tom Brady, because Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick have been stealing from that guy their entire career. They both suck so bad. Josh McDaniels is the worst play caller I have ever seen in my life. That guy, I am a high school football coach, and I could have called the game better than the Raiders. He sucks. He needs to be fired immediately. That guy is the worst play. He has been sucking on Tom Brady's coattails for 20 freaking years. He is terrible. No wonder he failed in Denver, because he didn't have Tom Brady.
Yeah, I would disagree with you on one point, Jay, and thanks for the phone call. You could leave Belichick's name out of this. Like, let's stop treating Bill Belichick as if he's some slap-you-know-what kind of coach. The guy's a six-time Super Bowl champion. He believed in Tom Brady when no one believed in Tom Brady. And there was early on, they won a lot of those Super Bowls because of Bill Belichick. And then later on, Brady turned out to be the greatest quarterback of all time. And Brady, I know he won a Super Bowl without Belichick. Belichick did go 10-7 last year, even though this year has been a disaster. But yeah, Josh McDaniels, I thought he'd be okay in Las Vegas. I thought they could make the playoffs this year. They have a lot of talent. But yeah, I got nothing for you through the first three games. But that line is not good. Darren Waller is going to catch football. Derek Carr is not a great quarterback in this league. And defensively, is Chandler Jones even playing? The guy could be going to the Hall of Fame. But that defense got some big-time problems. So I will admit an L. Very rarely do I do. But I thought the Raiders would be a playoff team. Hickey was very disrespectful to the Raiders all offseason long. He wasn't disrespectful. He was just right. So that is the one of the few times that Hot Take Hickey actually made a right prediction on this show. By the way, Marco Belletti, and I know you want to get out of here, so I'll let you get out of here in just a second.
Mm-hmm.
Hickey's actually optimistic still with the Broncos, just because they're 2-1.
You know what? If you're high on them going into the year, the fact that they've been awful and they're 2-1, and the hope is that Russell Wilson, it can't get worse, it can only get better.
Yeah.
I could see it.
Beat the Texans and the 49ers.
Again, you've been awful and you're 2-1. Yeah. That's the silver lining. Everything else screams that this is a disaster. The silver lining is you've won 2 out of 3 games. You can't possibly be any worse. Your head coach can't possibly be any worse. Your quarterback, your offense, none of it could be worse. And you're 2-1.
I did Google last night, Nathaniel Hackett t-shirts. I'm thinking about getting Hickey one for Christmas.
I'm a little confused why he was so convinced that Hackett was going to be such a success so quickly in Denver. I'm a little lost on that one. I didn't think he'd be a mess.
Yeah.
I don't see why.
Already hiring coaches to help him out with decisions.
Well, but I mean, that to me is a disaster. Your father was a coach. You grew up in this. That's the one thing that I expected you to know how to do. Now, your father was notoriously conservative, so I was a little concerned in that regard, but he didn't really show that necessarily. But you should know management of the game. I mean, that's...
Hickey, why were you so optimistic?
It wasn't about Nathaniel Hackett himself.
He was a top three coach in the league.
I thought Russell Wilson was going to explode and carry this team. And in doing so, you know, as I say, tide raises all boats. His great play would have helped highlight Nathaniel Hackett, and he would have got Coach of the Year consideration because the Broncos would have had a great year led by Russell Wilson.
So I get
more
that
belief
part,
in
but
Russ
he's
than
calling
Hackett.
The plays, though.
Right. And I thought he would cater to Russ's strengths for the first time. And I will admit, through three games, this has been an abject failure.
And also, Russ has not played well.
He's not been very good.
That's the part that everyone just looks over because Nathaniel Hackett is the easy target and deserving of a lot of blame. I'm not making excuses for him, but Russ has not looked good through the first three games.
He's looked awful. It's not even not good.
Game he put up yards, but like last night, if it wasn't for his legs, he did nothing.
Again, though, but this is the last few years now. Even in Seattle, they moved the football and they don't score.
Yeah.
And everybody put that on Pete Carroll. Now everybody's putting it on Nathaniel Hackett. At some point, you got to look at Russell Wilson and go, hey, you want to be a top quarterback in the league, you got to find a way to put the ball in the end zone.
And his line wasn't good in Seattle. His line hasn't been good in Denver, but eventually the greats find a way to turn garbage into gold, and they find a way to at least look competent. He has not looked competent.
And I'll be fair, again, out of all the good quarterbacks, he probably skates more than any of them. He really does, because we've been making excuses for him for years now. And it's getting to the point where it's kind of like, you know what? Maybe it is Russell Wilson.
And also my advice to him, stay off TikTok. Because his TikToks cause some unwanted attention his way, and I think starts to make him as someone that you may not love. like Russell Wilson, a lot of people used to love, and maybe that's why he gets some of these excuses.
Maybe.
You start playing poorly and you do these awful TikToks that are cringeworthy. It all factors up until eventually it turns on you.
All social media, he needs to stay off. Honestly, we don't need to say any of this stuff.
I think you should get on TikTok. Stuff. You'd be great, Marco.
On TikTok?
Yeah, you'd be like happy, friendly, dancing around. It'd be wonderful.
What am I, a bear now? I'm dancing around?
I don't know.
Look at the big jolly fat guy. Yeah. Why? Look at him dance.
You're probably more so like close to the Grinch than someone that's being happy-go-lucky on TikTok.
I'm definitely closer to the Grinch. Yeah, TikTok. I think there's an age limit on TikTok. I think at some point you're just, you know what? Look, sorry. Sorry, old man. Get the hell out of here.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
What's up, everybody? Guess who's hosting a new podcast? No Mercy with Stephen A. Smith. Listen as I pull back the curtain on everything beyond the world of sports, interviewing influential guests, outspoken celebrities, and thought leaders across the political, financial, and social spectrum. You know me, I'll give you my unbiased opinion. A No Mercy episode drops every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. No Mercy with Stephen A. Smith, a presentation of Cadence 13 and Odyssey Studio, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcast.
How's your mental health? I'm listening with Charlie Puth.
I just surround myself with my family. And if you don't really have a big family, just surround yourself with some of your closest friends. And it's pretty amazing how other people can lift one up just from their energy alone. Mental health in general is not to be looked down upon. It's a very serious thing. And it's important that your mind is healthy just as much as your body physically is healthy.
More at imlistening.org. Talk saves lives.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
All right, let's talk a little college football right now. We'll go around to what was an actual better than what I thought it would be Saturday slate of games. I got to give a lot of credit to Tennessee. Hendon Hooker, Josh Heupel have been a wonderful combination. They're 4-0. Florida, after that big win to open up the year against Utah, and I said this earlier in the year, that even though that's a moment where if you're Florida, sure, you obviously want to win the game, but when you win, it kind of sets the expectations a little bit out of whack, where if you just would have played a tight game and would have lost, people go, hey, that's a nice gritty effort, good showing in the first game, 4-1 Billy Napier, but after they won that game, the buzz about Anthony Richardson was massive. And Billy Napier, too. They're 2-2. That game was wild for multiple reasons. But if you had 10.5 on the Gators, plus 10.5 like I did, what a swing of emotions. So they get a touchdown, and it should have been an 11-point game. Then you make the extra point. It's a 10 game. Hickey, I've seen a lot of college football. What was Billy Napier doing? Attempting a 2-point conversion to make it from an 11-9-point game. I don't get it.
I don't either. I guess it's the analytical darlings now. Or
what numbers
the math.
Though?
So I guess
there's
if you
no
think
numbers
about
that
it,
make sense there. You go down by 9.
But then if you think about it, a field goal and a touchdown wins the game instead of ties the game, so you don't go to
nonsense.
Overtime.
Take the numbers and shove it.
And you
it.
Have two chances to, I guess, make it 10 points. If you don't get the 2-point conversion the first time, you get it the second time, it's still a 10-point game. So that's the logic in terms of trying to shorten the game in terms of, let's forget about going overtime. Let's just try to win the game with a touchdown field goal instead of extending the game even longer.
Well, it almost cost him because, it did cost him in some way. It almost cost us in covering the spread is the way that I should have said it. Because then that makes it 11. Everyone's mother bleeping him out of this world if you had plus 10.5 points, because then you're going to lose. Then they get a touchdown to make it 38-33, and then they recover the onside kick. And they get good field position out of it. Now, if Billy Napier would have just taken the extra point the first time, that would have made it a 10-point game. Then, since he didn't get it the first time, he then had to go for it again, where if he would have just got it the first time on the PAT and not the 2-point conversion, it ends up being a 3-point game, 38-35, and he could have kicked the field goal potentially to tie that game and go to overtime in a game where they had no business of actually getting to overtime. So that greedy, if you want to say analytical driven decision, not that you thought it was going to cost you the game, but when you do the math, it ended up costing him the game with the way that they recovered that onside kick. It was brutal, Ryan. That's a young coach. I know he was at Louisiana, a lot of success. Big moment at Tennessee, Rocky Top. Horrible, 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 horrible decision-making by Billy Napier.
I agree. Also, though, Tennessee closed the game. I mean, don't take the foot off the gas up 17 points thinking, you know, they started celebrating,
imagine
screaming Rocky Top. Like,
imagine they go to overtime and lose after that game was in the bag.
I don't say they deserved it, but it's like that's what happened. You stop playing after like 55 minutes.
Clemson and Wake Forest. How much through the first three games did we praise this Clemson defense? The defense did not show up against Sam Hartman. Sam Hartman had 6 touchdowns. They lose Wake Forest, though, in double overtime, 51-45. DJ Uiagalelei, he had 5 passing touchdowns in the game and 371 yards throwing the football, also had 52 rushing yards. Finally, when DJ and company really get going, then the defense does nothing. Can we get Clemson, who's 4-0, and they have a massive game up against NC State this weekend, can they get the defense and offense on the same page? Can you get a good defensive performance with a good offensive performance and then a good offensive performance with a good defensive performance? Instead of the offense playing poorly, defense playing well. Defense playing poorly, offense playing well.
Can't get on the same page, you're right. But this also goes back to what I was saying after Georgia the Tech game to start the season. Like, DJ's not bad. He's a good quarterback. The issue is for him, he needs the offensive line to play well. And that game, especially the first opener, the offensive line was horrendous. Yeah. You see what happens. When he has protection, not that Wake Forest defense any good. It's not. He can make throws.
And you also got to remember, Cade Klubnik is a highly rated quarterback and a highly touted quarterback. We have not seen much of him yet. So when DJ was struggling, I understand why there was calls for Cade Klubnik. But for now, you could hold that conversation off if DJ keeps on playing. Not saying he needs to throw 5-6 touchdowns every week. That's not realistic, but if you keep on playing to a good caliber that you're capable of, that conversation will start to fade. And they're 4-0 too, but that could go away very quickly if they lose to NC State this weekend. Oklahoma loses to Kansas State. Oklahoma, who you had thoughts of potentially going to the college football playoff, I could see where you're thinking. I did not put them in my top 5 when we do take 5 on each and every Wednesday. I like Brent Venables. I like also Dylan Gabriel as the quarterback, but it's just one of those games you get in those high-octane offense type of games inside the Big 12 that you just didn't come out on the winning side of.
I mean, can you tackle Adrian Martinez? Like, honestly?
That too.
Please? I mean, I wonder where Scott Frost is watching this game.
He had 148 rushing yards and 4 touchdowns, and you're right. That's a great call bringing up Scott Frost.
That looked like freshman year Adrian Martinez at Nebraska. And after that year, he's getting Heisman. Like, he was like a Heisman preseason favorite.
Scott Frost probably drinking a beer during that game saying, "That's my boy, Blue. You're my boy, Blue. That's what I was talking about."
Are you cheering or like pissed if you're Scott Frost? Because it's like in one sense, like, right, that's my guy. In other sense, like, where was that, you know, the 3 years you were here?
When you're desperate and out of a job, even though he got handsomely paid on a buyout, I think that you try to say, see, if I could only have that Adrian Martinez. USC, I thought it was big that USC won a close game because USC has just been blowing out every opponent. Oregon State, we know, was 3-0 entering the game. For them to win a game ugly, I think will end up helping USC long-term, Ryan, when they win 17-14 over Oregon State.
It is nice to see that, right, they got punched in the mouth and they kept coming back. Caleb Williams is awful. This entire offense is awful. Their credit scored like a minute 30 left, whatever it was, to win the game. Like, they were clutch when they needed to be, which you're going to have to be because not every game is going to be pretty and you win 45-17.
And I have 2 more takeaways. Forget Miami because you lost to Middle Tennessee State. We don't need to talk much about that. Miami the last 2 weeks showed what type of football team they are. But Texas A&M, who beat Miami last week, I thought was going to get run out of the building against Arkansas when it's 14-0, then it gets the 14-7. Ever since you had that fumble recovery for like 80-something yards, it changed the entire complexion of the game. And Arkansas, who's like a physical team, well-built in the trenches, can run the football, have a good quarterback in KJ Jefferson, they just had nothing after they got punched in the mouth. After they threw the initial punch, the moment Texas A&M countered back, they had nothing. It was stunning.
Frustrating. They should have smoked him.
Yeah. Your tweet. The moment you said they're going to smoke him, the next thing you know, Texas A&M said, oh, here's Hot Take Hickey. The Hot Take Hickey mush. And is there more of a confusing player in college football than Bo Nix? We saw what he did last week against BYU. Then they're down big to Washington State, at Washington State. I'm thinking, okay, Washington State's going to win. I thought they were going to win the game going in. And then Bo Nix finishes off the game 33 of 44, 428 yards, and 3 touchdowns. I don't think there's a more inconsistent player in college football than Bo Nix. When he is good, it's like, wow, unbelievable. But then there he has some bad moments. Found a way to get the job done, though. Yesterday, Oregon recovers after their opening loss to Georgia.
Looking for stories about Black culture, Black news, all Black everything? Then listen and subscribe to the podcast Beyond Black History Month. From influential newsmakers like Soledad O'Brien.
I try to use Twitter to explain, this thing is not good, but let me explain to you why it's not good. And let's talk about what framing is.
To why Game of Thrones fans can believe in dragons, but not a Black Targaryen. Or Valyrian, technically. Find Beyond Black History Month on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
What's up, everybody? Guess who's hosting a new podcast? No Mercy with Stephen A. Smith. Listen as I pull back the curtain on everything beyond the world of sports. Interviewing influential guests, outspoken celebrities, and thought leaders across the political, financial, and social spectrum. You know me. I'll give you my unbiased opinion. A No Mercy episode drops every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. No Mercy with Stephen A. Smith, a presentation of Cadence 13 and Odyssey Studio. Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcast.
How's your mental health? I'm listening with Charlie Puth.
I just surround myself with my family. And if you don't really have a big family, just surround yourself with some of your closest friends. And it's pretty amazing how other people can lift one up just from their energy alone. Mental health in general is not to be looked down upon. It's a very serious thing. And it's important that your mind is healthy just as much as your body physically is healthy.
More at imlistening.org. Talk saves lives.